Hi, I'm Mike Maloney, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. Today's episode is hosted by Dr. Greg Linville.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. My name is Dan Stouffer, and I'm joined again with Dr. Greg Linville and Scott Stedman as we continue our conversation about the book Scent. This is another great resource from CSRM. It's all about the missiology for the sports outreach community. As a reminder, we want you to listen to this podcast, have some conversations with others who are like-minded, who do what you do, and we encourage you to purchase this book. And you can do so through our website, csrm.org. So, Dr. Greg, in our last episode, you did a great job of defining what missiology is, why it's important. I think you did a great job of kind of summarizing chapter one, but kind of catch us up to speed. We want to kind of delve into chapter two. So lead us out of chapter one into chapter two of some key things that we need to be aware of as we read this book.
Well, one of the things that I'll start with, and thank you, Dan, it's great to be with you guys again, is we have to ask the local church sports rec and fitness minister, do you want to keep doing the same old, or do you want to get into a new paradigm? Now, if the same old is really effective and you are really doing a great job of seeing people who are far from Jesus in the church come to Christ and get plugged into the church, then by all means, keep doing what you're doing. But a lot of our folks are saying, you know what, we've got to get a new paradigm. Now, let's talk about those in general. And this is, again, kind of chapter one is a review of a lot of the concepts of the previous ology books. The previous that we've talked about, the same old, has been the mega models. And the mega models are either the mega event or the mega media. And this is where you get a crowd of people either to listen to somebody give a platform proclamation of their faith, or that they watch or listen or read something through media. And we're not saying these things are bad, but we're saying that it's less likely today that you will fill a stadium full of people to hear somebody tell them about Jesus. If people go to that, it's almost always people who are already Christians, because our society, particularly in the West, has so conditioned people that you don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. And so there's a sense there that the same old is not as effective anymore. But if it's combined, if that mega media model or that mega event model, If those mega models are combined with the 3R model, repetitive, relational, and redemptive, that's when it becomes most effective. So repetitive means that you have a league that comes back every week, or a fitness class that goes every week. And in every season, there's a new league. And every year, there's new seasons. And you get repetitive. And it's built to allow the local church pew sitter on a Lord's Day morning to be able to grab hold of their friend, their neighbor, their colleague, co-worker, fellow student, and bring them to the fitness class or to the league or to the bird watching club or whatever you do. These things are all powerful ways, but we need to move from the same old mega model to the 3R model. And then every once in a while, you do the mega model where you do have that elite athlete give their testimony. You do show a video. You do something that can help people. They go together. But if all you're doing is that mega model, you're probably not being effective. And so the platform proclamation, where somebody just gives the verbal message, is only as powerful as the relational side that has come through people experiencing life together. And so, again, we call that a day's decision, where you do a mega model. Somebody proclaims the gospel from a platform, raise your hand and love Jesus, as opposed to the every week getting a little more, a little more, a little more, and that dedicated disciple. We term it like this. Are you counting converts? In other words, do you count the people who put their hand in the air, or are you really convincing the converts, or are you convincing those who are confused? So do we just count them when they raise their hand, or are we really spending time to help convince them rather than coerce them? Convincing may sound a little negative, but convincing means that we're taking the time to really love and answer the questions that they're having about faith. And this is what we call laboring long. This is going to take time. The research is that it takes 6 to 7 years for an adult who is totally secularized, non-church, non-believer. 6 to 7 years, repeated, relational, but there always has to be that redemptive part of getting people there. So the first chapter in a book kind of helps us think that through and challenges us to not do the same old, again, unless it's working, and then move to what is really going to be relevant. Dan or Scott, your thoughts.
Greg, as you were describing that, and I love our three R's, I think that forces and challenges us all with anybody under our leadership, anybody that we are trying to minister to, whether it's a camp, league, anything we got going on, to slow down. It's going to require some more time. We're going to labor long, just like you said. But I immediately thought of, as an athlete, when I would go to a summer league or a summer camp or basketball or football or something, I maybe grew as an athlete just somewhat. Maybe I learned a new technique or something. But when in high school and in college, when I had 4 years with the same coaches, I grew a lot because it's related to those three R's. It took time. I had a relationship. That coach knew me well, knew my weaknesses, knew my strengths, knew how to motivate, knew how to inspire. Whereas more, if it's a one-time training or a camp, it maybe was more that verbal proclamation. It was good, but where I really grew as an athlete was over a long period of time with the same people. And I think that makes a whole lot of sense how that should apply to ministry and making a dedicated disciple. So I think you said some really good things there for sure.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, with me, when I would referee or coach upwards at a church, it was our church, and then we had another church probably like 20 minutes down the road. And a lot of times people would come to ours and then they would go to the other one because the other one always had more people. So it's like we get to play more teams. It's bigger. You know, bigger is better. But then after a season, they would then sign up with us again because one of the things that they were doing is everything was about basketball, and there wasn't getting that. They felt like there wasn't the relational thing. And even more, there wasn't that gospel impact. The gospel impact was about playing a video and hopefully people are paying attention, versus when you have a referee or a coach who is down there in preaching the gospel to people and engaging with the parents and the players. And that was a whole different for them. It's like, you know, I don't care much about the skills and the basketball. We want the gospel. And I think that's why a lot of parents decided to come back to us, because that was missing in the bigger groups.
You know, it's all about strategy. And, you know, I think when it comes to how we design things with CSRM, strategy is paramount. One of the things I thought about too, is as you were talking there, Scott, you know, where it makes sense, if you're able to design a class or a league or a camp where people under your care, your athletes, people that you're training, students and children, if you're able to stay with them for a long period of time, meaning, okay, let's think of a normal school year. You know, you get the third grade basketball team. Well, if you're able to coach again in fourth grade and you're with them yet again, that allows the three R's to be a part of your overall strategy for making a dedicated disciple. So that's what CSRM is all about, is just helping you to think through these different strategies and hopefully grow in your really strong effectiveness when it comes to ministry. And so speaking of strategy, Greg, one of the things that you mentioned here in this book, Sent, is a section by section overview, kind of the strategy of the book. Kind of explain why that's important and how people can utilize the different sections in Sent.
Yeah, the book is broken up into different sections, and in some ways it does follow our three-tier paradigm, but it's not totally the three-tiered. It's also some other things. So we've talked so far about chapter one, kind of a review of where we've been in the other books and how this one fits in. And chapter two goes into a preview of what this book is bringing. And so in the first section, we talk about the theological, the philosophical, the historical, and also the biblical foundations for missiology. I think there's something that a lot of people find fairly surprising, particularly when we get into that chapter, I think it's probably chapter four, about the history of missiology. That missiology was never taught in a seminary until the 19th century. Now think about that. We've only had missiology around for the last 100 or 2 years. And so we talk about the history of that and what it meant, how it came about, who did it, who started it, who was the first professor. But not to just give us a history, but to help us understand some of the dynamics of why that's important. So chapter three talks about the relevance of missiology overall in a more detailed way. It gives us some of the theological foundations. Then the next chapter becomes the history of missiology and how we can grab hold of some models and some rationales for today. The next chapter talks about the biblical foundations. And then it kind of summarizes all of that in the sixth chapter about missiological foundations. And so that's that whole first section that kind of gives us the foundation. And then we move into the second section that helps us deal with, or the next section rather, helps us deal with understanding the missiological proposals. Based on the theology, based on the history, based on these principles, how do we then actually go out and start to implement this? And we look at it in the following areas. We apply it to the local church. How does a congregation do it? We look at the sports-related para-ministries, the FCAs, the AIAs, the YMCAs, anything that's got an H in its name, or an A in its name, except for HMI, which is Hockey Ministry International. But, you know, we all these organizations, and then sports chaplaincies and Christian camps. These are the areas that we then begin to apply the missiological principles and say, here's some relevant ways to think about this as a proposal for the ministry that you're in. So we branch out a little beyond the local church, but hopefully those in the chaplaincy area, camping area, paraministry area, they'll see the incredible value and importance of rooting it through the local church. And then we have a chapter that is really relevant to the world in the sense that it's all relevant to the world, but in the sense that how do we proclaim Jesus? How do we go on mission to a world that is called multi-faith? I prefer multi-religious more than I use the terms multi-faith, but we won't get into that right now. The multi-religious world, how do we go on mission to that world? And so that's one of the chapters there. And then the last section helps us tie all these dots together, connect all the dots. So that's where we're going in this book.
And as you mentioned, it's very similar to our three-tier paradigm. Again, I just think if if we just dive into something without having an overall strategy and a one that's solid and has a very solid foundation, we're kind of guessing. And we could not be as effective as we could be in ministry if we don't think things like this through. And so that's what CSRM wants to do. We want to help provide a resource that can help you kind of build your vision and mission based upon an overall process that's solid, that's biblical, that has a foundation that will make you most effective in reaching people. You know, when I think about this being relevant, I can't think of a more relevant focus than for a sports rec and fitness ministry to be all about missiology. Really, if you're not doing it, then if you're not focused on missiology, then why are you doing it? And so this is a very relevant topic for all of us to kind of think through. And again, this is a great resource that you can find on our website, csrm.org. And we just encourage you to take this and to develop your overall mission for your ministry and allow God to take it to the next level. Greg, you know, as we kind of lead out of chapter two into chapter three, I think we all maybe take this for granted, but when we talk about the Great Commission, why don't you break that down for us? Because that's a big part of our mission. I think it's a good tease into our next episode, but let's start there. What is the Great Commission? Why should the local church sports rec and fitness minister be concerned about it? And how does it apply to someone's ministry?
Well, what we have found is that the Great Commission really comes down to one part of one verse rather than taking the whole two verses at the end of Matthew. And Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20 is the Great Commission. It's echoed in the other Gospels and in Acts and certainly in the epistles. But we get the go because the Great Commission starts with go. And so we say, oh, go. Yeah, we get that. Whether we go or not, that's not what I mean. We just know that we're supposed to. Most churches don't. Most Christians don't. So if we're not going, then we need to reevaluate things right there. But assuming that everybody's on the same page, that yes, we are supposed to go where? Into the entire world. Now, I can't go personally to the entire world, but I can go into my world. And so we're all supposed to go into our world, whatever that is, family, friends, neighbors, work, fellow students. And then what does it say? Go to do what? Make disciples. This goes back to the terminology that we've coined. A day's decision. Are we going to count a convert? Are we going to make a dedicated disciple? But then it gives us how to do that. Go into all the world. Make disciples. Baptizing them. And this is one of the main areas that churches do not do because they just end it at go or go and make disciples. And let's be clear about baptism. Now, for full disclosure, I just don't personally adhere to baptizing a person who comes to faith, like what is often called adult baptism. Mm. But I'm even more radical personally, and this is not necessarily CSRM, but I'm an Anabaptist, meaning I'm going to baptize you again, even if you were baptized as an infant upon profession of faith when you're older. Now, let's don't get hung up on that. As much as I believe that, I don't want to get hung up on that because the traditions of the Presbyterian Church, of the Methodist Church, of the Catholic Church, of all these churches that baptize infants, they also have a thing that happens when a person at some age of accountability or as an adult, they profess a personal faith that they would affirm their baptism, if you will. And whether it's called different things in different traditions, but it's still a public declaration in front of the church that person is saying, I am saying today that I'm a dedicated disciple of Jesus. So whether you are an infant baptizer, but an adult confirmation person and church or denomination, or whether you are an adult baptizing church or person, and okay, you do it when you're an adult, when you come to that age of accountability, or if you're a heretic like me, who will baptize even the ones who've already been baptized, I think we get the importance of making that public declaration. We would never encourage our kids to just go and start living with each other and never have a marriage, never have a wedding, rather. We want them to have a public declaration of their commitment to being married for all of their lives. It's the same kind of principle. It's three things: go, make disciples, baptizing. And then the fourth thing of the Great Commission is teach them all that I've commanded you. This is Jesus speaking. Teach them all that I've commanded you. Scott, Dan, if that's what it is, I've never discipled one person in my life. Because as far as we can tell, Tim Conrad is actually doing the research on this. And the last that he knew was that there were 50 commands of Jesus. I might have gotten to 3 or 4 or 7 or maybe 10 with some guys, but all 50? And so what that really says to us is we're just not going, raise your hand, but become a dedicated disciple. And that's what we're going. That's the Great Commission that we are sent to. That's missiology, Dan. And what we're going to do in the next chapter, chapter 3, is we're going to start to look at the statistics of how many people in this world have never heard the gospel, never committed themselves. How many groups are actually doing it? Who's being successful at this missiology? That's where we're going in the next chapter.
And I think that's a great setup for us as we prepare to kind of wrap up this episode. But I think it's so encouraging, so motivating to know, Greg, that you broke it down so well for us, that Jesus entrusted us with this. All who follow him, all who are true disciples, we get to play a part in this. And it really does involve, like we mentioned earlier, the three R's. This isn't something that just, we snap our fingers and we have a fully dedicated disciple of Jesus. Because, you use the one another commandments of Jesus. There's over 50 of those. And so that's not going to be a one-time sermon. That's not even going to be one season within your sports ministry context. That's going to be a long relationship with someone. And then getting them to the point where they recognize, hey, what I just did for you, I want you to do for someone else, which is why at CSRM, we encourage people, hey, don't call your fellow coaches, your fellow instructors, volunteers, call them a local missionary. Because that's what they are. They're on mission. They're living out the missiology that we see given to us, entrusted to us from the scriptures, from Jesus himself. And so we look forward to our next episode as we dive a little bit deeper into that and really get into some of those stats that are very sobering about people who have yet to hear the great good news of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for joining us today on this episode. And we'll see you again next time for the next episode. Take care.
The CSRM Podcast is a production of CSRM and their production house, Overwhelming Victory. Dr. Greg Linville is the executive producer, and Scott Stedman is the associate producer and editor. To learn more about CSRM, visit csrm.org. For more information about Overwhelming Victory, visit overwhelmingvictory.org. The CSRM Podcast is the flagship member of the podcast network Overwhelming Victory Radio. For more information on Overwhelming Victory Radio, or to listen to our partner podcasts, visit overwhelmingvictory.org/OV Radio. For CSRM Podcasts, I'm Mike Maloney. Have a blessed day.